This session is part of a webinar series which aims to assist researchers, librarians, and institutions in the adoption of digital tools and persistent identifiers for a significant increase of research discoverability globally and to increase efficiency in scholarly workflows.
Okay. Hello, everyone. My name is Keleto. I'm the project coordinator here at Africa Archive, and welcome to our webinar series. Just a bit of background of who we are as Africa Archive. We're a community-led digital archive for African research, promoting research discoverability in Africa and outside. And we're running a webinar series. And on today's talk, we'll be talking about accessibility, affordability, and discoverability for scholarly literature in Africa. And our speaker today is Cameron Curtin from Zendi. And just a bit of background about Cameron. Cameron Curtin is the founder and chief executive officer of Knowledge E. He founded Knowledge E in 2012 with the aim of providing unique, professional, and high quality services to the information professionals in the Middle Eastern region and beyond. He is the co-founder and managing director at Zendi, an organization that is focused on making academic research affordable and accessible around the world. Cameron has 20 years of experience working in the publishing industry on both the publisher and agency front, working closely with some of the top consortia, libraries, ministries, hospitals, and corporations within research and education section in the region. He has experienced the birth and the growth of many digital libraries. Driven by his interest in learning societies, he has initiated and participated in the completion of various special development projects. Cameron holds a BSc in Engineering and MSc in Marketing with a thesis on open access publishing business models, as well as MBA from the University of Manchester with a dissertation on the application of business model canvas in university research offices. Cameron plays a major role in the Knowledge E Foundation, a community interest corporation focusing on supporting education and research-based projects across the globe with the focus on developing nations. So thank you once again for joining us today, and we're looking forward to hearing from Cameron. Cameron, the floor is yours.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here. Thanks so much for the invite. And when it comes to accessibility of scientific literature in various regions, this is very close to my heart, and I'm always very excited to have the opportunity to discuss and share different ideas and projects that we are working on. So I've got some slides ready just to share one of our projects that we are working on, and would it be good? Should I start that now? And then we can go through maybe some questions, answers, if there's anything that we can go deeper into the topic. How does that sound?
Definitely. Go on.
Great. Okay, so I'll just share my screen. Let's see if this works well. Okay. Can you see my screen? Is that a yes?
Yes.
That's perfect. Great. Okay, that's fantastic. Okay, so I'm here to talk about Zendi, a project that has taken a major part of my life for the past, I can say, 7 years. It's something very close to me. As you mentioned in my background, you know, open access has been very close to my heart. I even, when I was studying, based on my interest, I dedicated my dissertation towards open access models. And it's been a journey to see how these different business models have evolved over the years. And even though we are in a world where open access is more acceptable and more utilized by researchers, funders, various organizations, and many are seeing the benefits of it, we still are not 100% open access. And there's still a lot of content that is behind paywalls, and there are difficulties in order to get there. At the same time, in a completely open access world, we still have the challenge of discoverability. So the content is there, but how easy is it to find? How easy is it to include it into our workflows and study flows and research flows? So the whole idea and the whole birth of Zendy was looking at the accessibility landscape and seeing what else can be done. While there is a big drive towards open access, things are moving, there's still much that can be done on the accessibility front. And still, as I said, there is room for new business models and new ways in order to provide affordable access, not just free access for those paywalled content. Now, on the open access front, we are also an open access publisher. We are publishing various regions, journals and conferences in Diamond open access without charging APCs. But still, what can be done on the affordability front? So what I did is I looked at the other industries. What happened in the music industry? We all saw the rise of Napster providing and sharing music, and now most of us enjoy a subscription to Spotify or various other services where for a monthly smaller subscription fee, which is less than a single album, we enjoy unlimited access to a lot of music. We see the same on the entertainment side where we've got either Netflix or various accounts and we enjoy that freedom of unlimited access to various literature. Now, what happens on scholarly literature? Has anything changed in that front? There has been like various efforts from individual publishers or different initiatives like Research for Life and so on and so forth. But so far, none have been really successful on building that outreach to many individuals, not just in countries where accessibility is really low, but even in some of the global north countries, there are still individual researchers who are not members of elite institutions to access the literature. So I'll just go through the slides. So Zendy is a mission-driven research library. It's on a mission to break down barriers to accessibility of scholarly literature, and that's in partnership with publishers. We haven't invented or created a not legal version of access to literature. Everything we're doing is in partnership. If we look at sites like Sci-Hub, it's quite popular. US is the biggest user of Sci-Hub content, but basically it's not very clear. It's not in partnership with publishers. There's no visibility, and there's so many different caveats. And again, this is similar to what we saw in the different industries that we mentioned. We are really trying to reduce inequalities in accessing scholarly literature, and as a result, improving education and higher education in all the countries that we're working on. So what is our user base? I think more than 20% of our user base is coming from Africa and from the countries that I'm sharing. I think Morocco is missing, but predominantly these are main countries with users. We have users from basically every country on the map, but the majority of users are coming from East, West Africa, South Africa, and some countries in North Africa. So the outreach in other parts of Africa is not huge yet. Now, the way that Zendy works is it's free for open access content with a lot of tools. And when it comes to paywall content that the publishers are providing, it's providing affordable access. So with the price of a third of a single article, you can have unlimited access to all the publishers that are providing their content in those countries. And that is a growing base of content. In some countries, it's limited to like five or six publishers. In some countries, it's more than like 10 publishers, but the list is ever growing and we've got more publishers joining. So imagine going into a library and for the price of a cup of coffee, you get unlimited access to all the paywall content that is there. So in the business model that we mentioned, you've got open access, you've got paywall access, you've got illegal access. Why not also have an affordable access option? You know, in a world, you would like to free up all the content, but and we are doing that as much as possible on the OA front. But in order to develop the platform, 6 years of work has gone into it, and you can imagine the resources have gone. And for us, this has not been generating, you know, any significant revenue yet, because we believe in the mission and we believe that eventually, you know, once you've got the right mindset and the right intention, things will work out and things will come. So whatever we are making on other sides of the business has been put into Zendy in order to make this possible. So really, we're supporting individuals who either attend, you know, underfunded institutions that can't afford the subscriptions to all the publishers, or they're not affiliated. We're talking about individual researchers. And now if we look at the demographics, we'll see that a bit more. 28% of our users are coming from other working professionals. So when we're talking about democratizing access to literature, when we're talking about lifelong learning, when we're talking about accessibility of scholarly information for everyone and removing the barriers, 28% other working professionals, these are usually individuals who the institutions are either they're not part of institutions, they're an independent researcher, they're in a small organization who cannot afford access to scholarly literature. And we're really opening up this content to this body of users. And of course, we've got the other usual academic researchers, master graduates. We've got almost an equal female to male ratio and usage for those that we know, which is great. And the majority of our users are coming from the 18 to 24 age group, which is great to see so much interest in scholarly literature at such a young age. And the idea is to really open it up, make it accessible. And with accessibility, you know, we can bring that research element into our day-to-day life. We always talk about evidence-based decision making in anything we do in our profession, in our life. We want to take a supplement, we want to know the backgrounds, there's a medication, or we're just curious and we want to find answers to various questions. So it's important to be able to have access to this body of research that is being created with a good intention. The intention of research and research institutions are to solve global problems and all to help improve the quality of life and many, many other benefits that we strive for. So it's important to be able to embed all that information in our daily life and have access to it in an easy way. So that's how I will come across my next slide. Now, there's not a single session these days or panel which there's not a mention of AI. And, you know, there's discussions of downsides and there's a lot of skepticism in the publishing world. But we believe in transparent AI. We believe in ethical AI. And on the onset, we have shared our imperative and our AI policy of what we plan to do and how we want to advance research. So we work in collaboration with publishers and their data sources. And basically what tools we are providing is to enhance the discoverability. It's enhancing the accessibility. Now, first I'll explain how it works and then I'll give examples of, you know, how this could benefit various pockets of society. First of all, we have AI summarization where, a large article can be summarized in just seconds. It will highlight the keywords. A large language model, which is called Zaya, Zendy AI Assistant. You can ask questions and it'll bring back answers from a body of literature while referencing the sources. And we are constantly working to improve and to enhance the way that you can also link back to the references as well. But also when you ask Zaya at an article level, it will provide you with insights on different sections of an article. So On one hand, you've got summarization, so you've got quick access to knowledge, but then also AI provides you with deeper understanding and deeper access to knowledge. Sometimes you don't want to spend just a minute on an article, you want to spend hours, and Zaya enables you to do that by giving you relevant questions, what questions to ask the article, and dissecting the various sections. And of course, more and more features would come. But AI has many, many benefits on the accessibility and discoverability front. It really enables us to understand topics which are not directly our speciality. So when we talk about lifelong learning, when we talk about using science in our day-to-day life and access to research in our day-to-day life, any individual can understand an article in the language that is summarized and able to make useful insights from that. When we're talking about interdisciplinary and transdisciplinary research, which is really, really important for solving some of the global challenges, like what we saw in COVID, it was not just health sciences that was involved. You had social sciences, you had governance, you had countries, you had humanities, you had like arts, you had all these different topics coming together to solve a challenge. We see examples of that on climate change and global warming as well, where you've got sometimes the power of literature and art to share the message. There was a project with University of Exeter, which I was really fortunate to somehow be able to contribute. And basically they were using the power of words to raise awareness on some of these global challenges like the environment. So cross-disciplinary, interdisciplinary research is made available through Zaya. So I will really stop here on the presentation, and I'll open up the floor to any questions. And I'll just end here with a QR code. If you would like to set up a free account on Zendi, or you'd like to try Zaya, the research assistant, you can use these QR codes to be able to sign up onto the platform. So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you very much, Cameron, for such an insightful presentation. I think we learned a bit more about Zendi as well. So right now, I think I'll open the floor for questions. So you have options. You can post your questions on the chat or just raise your hand, and then you can have an opportunity to ask Cameron questions. So far on the chat, there hasn't been any questions. I'll also ask questions from my side, and I think they'll benefit others. I think one that I have here on my side is, do you have any trainings or services that are provided by Zendi that can benefit researchers? Maybe if you could just like give examples of those as well.
That's a great question, actually. So we are very early on our journey. So we launched the Global Open Access end of 2022. The Global Affordable Access option was just launched in October. We've got the world to cover. In just 1 year, we have over 550,000 users on the platform from across the globe. So this has been a significant uptake of the platform. Currently, we are working on launching our first demo series in order to be able to show the different features and the ways to access Zendi. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, 24th of April would be our first demo series. And that's something that we're going to continue. And we're working on enrolling an ambassador program that to be able to work with individuals and organizations in various regions so that we can work together and help promoting the use of Zendi. But we have a very robust support team. Any questions, any issues, it's very straightforward to use the platform. I think step one is to raise the awareness that such a platform is available. And based on that, the community will be able to further facilitate the and share the various use cases of Zendi. And yeah, so We are really open to partnerships, and we're looking forward to have more.
So I'm going to check the chat if we have any questions, but I'm sure that any more information can be accessed through the Zendu website as well. And I think it's shared on the chat as well. My team is sharing that on the chat.
I think there's two questions that have been submitted.
Okay.
It's on the Q&A section. Yes, thank you.
Yes. Okay, I just saw that. We have one. It says that is the AI tool free and available in Africa, and the other one is from Judah. She says, "Can we talk a little more about Sci-Hub and how publishers view it?"
Okay, sure. So first, on the AI tool, basically, the use of AI is completely free, along with the open access content in Africa. And we're encouraging the use. There would definitely remain, so this is our mission. Open access will remain free. Paid content will remain affordable. When it comes to AI tools, we might have to at one point limit the usage on the AI capabilities. So currently everything is free and it's unlimited, but at some point we might put a limit on the use of AI. But again, we will definitely come up with affordable ways to make it accessible in different regions. Mm-hmm. On the Sci-Hub, yeah, well, definitely it's not viewed positively by publishers. It's not legal. I know the concept of sharing is good, but for everything there's a way. And I think if we go through the correct way, it might take longer, but it's more sustainable, and I think everyone would benefit from it. What we've tried to do is the use of Sci-Hub is quite easy. You search, you find the article, you download it. One of our main principles has been the same. You search, you can click directly on the download, and you get the article in a single click. So that accessibility and ease of access, we've definitely incorporated. Now, when it comes to the other side, it hasn't been easy, even for a platform for Zendi. Not all, most publishers, it has taken time in order to open up. And it's been a long and very patient journey. With some publishers, we've had discussions for the past 4 years. And after 4 years, they're just now opening up the content to selected countries. There's always a worry of cancellations of the big institutional subscriptions. And that's why the publishers are not very comfortable, but we are giving all the assurances in order not to worry on that front, because we're, you know, reaching out to different participation groups. And again, when it comes to use of Sci-Hub, publishers have got no visibility of what's been downloaded, what's been used, what's popular, what's not popular. There's no insights, there's no analytics. And one of the ways that we are encouraging publishers to join the platform is that we are sharing reports and analytics on the usage of the content. So that visibility would hopefully give more assurance to publishers to be able to join Zendi easier. Already we have some big names on our platform, and that's something that is growing. But like any new technology, like I gave Spotify, I gave Netflix, took 3 years before really everyone like really, you know, warmed up to it and had subscriptions. And even Netflix has limitations. You don't own the content, or you can't download the content. With Zendi, it's easy. You read, you download, and then you can reuse. You know, you can, it's on your laptop. So if you don't have connectivity or anything, that's still there. So I hope I answered those two questions.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. You also answered another question on internet connectivity, since it can be an issue in other areas. So that means the material is downloadable and then you can access it later on. We have two more questions, Cameron. One is about the content of the presentation. It's from Dialas. They're asking if you have two options. Do you have two options as an open access option and another option which is subscription based? So they're asking if they got that right.
That is correct. So the platform for OA content is free. The content that publishers have, which is behind paywalls, that has been made affordable. So usually it will cost you $30, $40 to access a single article. So now, predominantly in Africa, with $10, you can get unlimited access to the platform. So that's 6 publishers, unlimited access on a monthly basis. Now, in some countries, we are also working. We have an initiative called Countries in Crisis, where there's like really serious issues going on within that region. We're trying to get publishers to agree to open up their content for free, even paywall content for free. So in those countries, content would be completely free. So we are also open to more and more options or closer partnerships in various countries in order to have a better understanding. Our aim is to make it more affordable, but we can't really zoom down into country because, as I said, we've just started. We're a small organization with a global outreach. So the only way this can be done would be with collaborations in individual countries. The way that we started some countries testing it, then we launched globally, and we have the global platform. Mm-hmm. We can go back to actually regional instances and country instances, and down the line our vision is to also include local content, so to enrich each country with content locally produced from that country. So that's the subscription question. I hope I answered.
Right. From my side, no questions, and I'm looking at time, so for the sake of time we will address other questions later on, and you can reach out to Cameron based on the last slide that he shared with you. We can contact him on his email or go to the Zendi website. So for the sake of time, thank you very much, Cameron, for the wonderful pleasure. Presentation, and for everyone for attending. The webinar sessions and previous webinar sessions, as some of you have been asking, in our website at africaarchive.org. And we're looking forward to seeing you in our other series. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.